my point still stands, but I did misspeak yesterday when I said the longest running evolutionary experiment, the E. coli could not metabolize glucose. They can, it's just not at the same rate after they can do it in. So like I said, my point still stands because it's not superior, still inferior, but they still do have the ability. Wait. So I wanted to correct myself on that.
Sure, that's fine. How much time do you have?
I actually don't know. So, I mean, I might stay for a little while, and then if I have to run, I'll let you know.
Okay, so yesterday when we started talking, you had said something that I wanted to talk about, but, like, the subject got changed to something else. So you make this argument that you can't prove that anything in the fossil record ever evolved. Do you remember saying that?
Yeah, you can't use bones is what I said.
Yeah.
You have to be able to prove that that bone did something. You know, I can make an argument that that bone is the last of its lineage and it didn't have any children.
Yeah, you could do that. And that does happen. There are things called end branches on the tree of life, like placoderms and pterosaurs and ichthyosaurs. Like we know of all kinds of them. But you absolutely can prove in the scientific sense that something in the fossil record is both a product of evolution and also has descendants that lived on too. So by prove, in the scientific sense, that just means find evidence for. Now, there are weak proofs predicated on not much evidence, but then there are extremely strong scientific proofs that are predicated on a lot of evidence. And the key thing is that evidence comes from a bunch of different disciplines, but all of the evidence, even across different scientific fields, all says the same thing. To call that a mere coincidence, I don't think is super tenable. So I'm just going to ask if you get what I mean so far.
Yeah, I kind of see where you're going. I wouldn't say that it's illogical. If you see a monkey that's fossilized and it looks just like the monkeys today, then I don't think it's illogical to say that monkey is a descendant of regular monkeys today. I don't think that's illogical. But if you're going to say, like the example, I don't know if you used it or someone else used it, that we know that dolphins evolved from horses because we know their nose moved up on top of their head, like was brought up yesterday, that's just simply shapes. And no, that you cannot prove that lineage of something that we don't see today. Because if we see it today, then that's a logical argument. If we don't see it today, then I could just as easily and just as logically, if we're both being fair, I could say that's the end of that lineage.
Okay. Like, I hear what you're saying, but I super don't agree, and it takes a little bit of time, but I can get you through this. First of all, nobody says that whales evolved from horses. horse evolution and whale evolution are different. Well, if somebody said that, then they misspoke and people misspeak. But whales evolved from a hoofed animal, but it's they're not even very closely related to horses, actually. So
you're going to bring up Ambulocetus?
I would use Pachycetus, Ambulocetus, Bacillosaurus, Derudon, and then modern whales. And then I would also point to Artiodactyls and the genetic record and the Astralgus. So there's a lot of things to talk about. I wish I could pull up some pretty pictures, but I think that I should be able to get some of them here. I'll just have to get creative with my Googling. Anyways, so the thing about you can't prove that an organism ever, like a bone doesn't prove anything other than an animal died. That's the Kentovind classical argument. But I think that's really silly, because if we find the fossil of something, we ask ourselves, how did that fossil, or why is there a fossil in the first place? Why even is there an organism? The answer to that is, well, there's a couple things we can imagine. If we find a fossil, do you think it's actually reasonable to assume that's probably the only member of that animal species that ever existed?
I could agree that that's not reasonable to assume, but right. You would also have to agree that if we're talking facts, you have to make an assumption. You have to assume that that bone had children and that had children that lived.
You don't have to assume it about that one. So, and it's kind of already uncovered here. So no, nobody would think it's reasonable that if we find a fossil of an organism, that that's the only one that ever existed. Instead, it's a member of a species. It's a member of a species. So a whole bunch of individuals of it existed. Now, where did they come from? Mommy and daddy making babies, right? In the case for animals, most animals, I guess.
Right. When you say things like nobody, that's an argument from majority. When you just stated somebody, like Ken Hovind, just absolutely disagrees with you. So I'd kind of stay away from arguments from majority.
Well, Kent Hovind is a nobody, first of all. But anyways.
Okay, you're still using an argument from majority, brother. It's a logical fallacy.
It's only a logical fallacy. So logical fallacies are just ways of pointing out that a deduction, like a deductive argument, doesn't necessarily follow.
Okay, well, then I'll use
if I say the vast majority of scientists agree on something, I'm not being fallacious. That's not fallacious at all to do that.
Did at one point in history, did the vast majority of scientists believe that the earth is flat?
No.
Yes. Not all of them, but yes. Majority of them.
Your Bible says it's flat, but scientists never thought that. It was a very common belief in the pre-scientific age, but proto-scientific early Greeks demonstrated that the earth is a sphere pretty convincingly. Okay, but anyways.
Well, then let me change the argument. If they believed it was flat, would that mean that was truth? That's what we call an authority argument. That's another logical fallacy.
Arguments from authority are fallacious if the authority has if the person claiming authority actually has no relevance to the topic. Okay, so if you say this guy that's a PhD proved that the Big Bang isn't true, but his PhD, but he's a dentist, then that is a horrendous and accurate example of an argument from authority. But anyways, I just want to talk about the bones here.
And so, I think you're a very educated person. I had a great conversation with you yesterday, but you're now defending things that are absolute logical fallacies. So if we're going to use logical fallacies, everybody agrees with me and you're wrong, I win.
I'm not defending fallacies. I'm describing to you when something is and isn't a fallacy.
Well, if I did not use logical fallacies on you yesterday, which I did not use, if I'm going to grant you the ability to use a majority, which is a logical fallacy, then I'm going to appeal to the biggest majority and say God, and I don't think you would like that very much.
God's not a majority.
Authority. I used the majority at first. Now I'm using authority. So if we're going to use an authority argument, an argument from authority, which is a logical fallacy, then I'll say God did it, and I don't think you would agree with that very much. So I would like that we stay away from logical fallacies.
If I'm appealing to scientists, I'm not making an argument from authority. If you want to understand something about the natural world, science has the most unprecedented successful track record of that.
And the most jacked up track record on both sides. They might know a lot too, but they mess up more than they know.
Your book says the earth is flat, so like who's...
No, it doesn't. My book doesn't.
No, it literally does.
No, it literally doesn't. That's not what it's referring to when it says that, but I don't want to get into a biblical argument with you.
I mean, okay. Let me grab it. Let me grab something real quick. Okay, anyways, getting back to the bones. So, we agree that if we find an organism, that organism is one of many, and it gets there by reproducing. So, while we can't say with any kind of real certainty if the particular individual we found had any offspring, because it's a member of a population, that means it got there through reproduction. So, other members of that group are going to leave descendants behind because that's where it came from in the first place. Now, it is true that sometimes organisms go extinct, but when we're talking about evolution, we're not often talking about organisms that are extinct. We're talking about, especially if we're dealing with fossils, we are asserting, because this is a counter argument used to claim that a certain fossil is a transitional species. So that's really the only time that example is ever used. But anyways, if we talk about whales, which I really actually want to talk about. So we have Pachycetus, we have Ambulocetus, we have Bacillosaurus, and we have Dorudon, and then Artiodactyls, and we got to talk about some bones here. So anyways, if evolution's true, then whales are a really interesting example, because whales are mammals, and all of the other mammals live on land. So that means that whales had to evolve from being a land-dwelling creature to living in the water, right?
Yeah, if it was true, that would have to happen.
So we got to try to find evidence of that. So we try to look for some transitional forms. Now, with respect to Ambulocetus, let me pull that up here. Ambulocetus, and then we're also going to have Bacillosaurus. I want to look at Bacillosaurus. Okay, so I fully sympathize with the idea that somebody would look at Ambulocetus right here, and they would be like, that doesn't look like a whale. I 100% agree with you that this does not look like a whale, okay? However, if somebody looked at Bacillosaurus, I would actually be like, it would be weird to me if somebody said that that wasn't a whale. It just so clearly is, right?
This is not my topic. I'll have to say, you know, I'm not educated in the whale evolution.
Well, I mean, so far all we're doing is just looking at it and thinking to ourselves, does this thing look like a whale? And it just so clearly does, right?
Yeah, okay, I'll give you that. If that's I guess you could say it looks like a whale. It looks like a very long, weird-looking whale, but...
It does have weird proportions, yes. So if Bacillosaurus is a transitional whale, then there are key hallmarks it has to have between whatever it evolved from and the way whales are today. And then we also need to see that with Ambulocetus too. So one of the key hallmarks is actually in their teeth. So, man, I'm trying to get a better picture of the teeth.
I appreciate it, man. And I'll continue to listen. I'm not going to be able to add too much to the whale conversation, but I will say the reason why I stay away from bones on mine is because at the end of this, no matter what evidence you're going to bring, it's going to be two things. One, it's going to be assumptions, because you have to assume when it comes to bones, you have to assume. You can't prove it. And two, it's going to be, hey, these shapes look alike, so therefore it evolved.
Well, yeah, but what we're going to do is we're going to connect many, many, many different things together. So this is Ambulocetus's skull.
Assumptions or shapes. That's what I'm telling you. Assumptions or shapes. This has the same looking teeth as this animal, so therefore it come from that animal.
Right. So that'd be one line of evidence. But anyways, so mammals have this really specific thing called heterodonty, which means we have more than one kind of tooth. We have molars, incisors, premolars, canines, all that good stuff. So Ambulocetus really clearly has this. This isn't a great picture, but the front teeth are pointy and stabby. And then the back teeth, they're shaped like a maple leaf in a way. They're actually kind of fascinating like that. Now, modern toothed whales don't have heterodonty. They just have one kind of tooth. But if we look at Bacillosaurus, if we look at its skull, and TikTok keeps shutting off when I try to share a web page, it keeps shutting it off. So, because it thinks that it views that as like a whatever. So this is a 3D rendering, but this is what the teeth look like. So we have something that's definitely a whale, but it has the same tooth structure as the thing we're claiming is a transitional form of it, the Ambulocetus, right? So if whales did evolve from land creatures, this is one of those things that has to be the case. And we absolutely do see that. Another key thing in the bones for Bacillosaurus is that, unlike modern whales, Bacillosaurus has hind legs, which is extremely bizarre. Modern whales don't have them. But the other thing about the legs that's really interesting is that they have all the exact same proportions as regular legs used for land locomotion. Because there's something called what do you call this? I don't remember. There's a term for it. But when a bone gets used for a specific purpose, what happens is the bone gets super highly modified. So whales are fat. We can all agree with that, right?
Yeah.
So whales have to propel. Now, they do quite a lot of it with their tail fluke, but they have so much mass and they use their front flippers for mechanical advantage. So what happens is their arm bones are extremely short and extremely thick. That's what gives them so much mechanical advantage. It's the exact same way with moles, because they burrow into the dirt. So moles have really that picture is tiny. Moles have really strong, really thick. Yeah, it's cutting it off for some reason, but moles have really strong, really thick arms. But then their legs are just these puny little things. So we see in Bacillosaurus, its hind legs aren't being modified for any particular purpose. They're just getting smaller so they can get out of the way, right? So those are two extremely important things. But then the final thing here, this takes a little while, but we're almost there. Let's see if I can find a good picture of it. There's a bone in your foot called the astragalus, and in certain animals, which are the ungulates, certain ungulates, artiodactyls, their astragalus has, I can't really get a good picture of it here. Do I have one in my book? Yeah, here, let me see if I can. Eocene whale talus. Okay, let me look this up real quick. Eocene whale talus. Nope, that's not coming up with anything. Here we go. Okay, so modern whales, today's living whales, don't have these bones at all. The only bones they have in that region, they have some of their hip bones still, but they don't have any leg bones anymore. But Bacillosaurus still does, and what we find is it has this really specific arrangement for the, it's the talus bone, but they also call it the astragalus, whatever, where it has two articulating ends. Now, the only other animals that have that are even-toed ungulates. That's why it says, so pronghorn antelope is an example of that. And if we go and look at those things that don't look like whales, which would be like Ambulocetus and Pachycetus, they have hooves. They don't look like whales, but they have that bone. They have the same teeth that Bacillosaurus does. They have the same bone in the leg that Bacillosaurus does. Modern whales don't have either of those, but Bacillosaurus does. So it's just the perfect example of a transitional form. And then I promise I'm almost done. Then the final thing that is just so overwhelmingly convincing of this is, okay, if whales evolved from some other kind of mammal that eventually turned into a fully aquatic mammal, then that means that we would be able to test that genetically. So if all this stuff about whales used to be animals with hooves that lived on land, or they evolved from an animal that lived on land that had hooves, then that's what whales should be most closely related to today. And they are. They're most closely related specifically to hippopotamuses. And that is my TED Talk. Are you muted? Oh, yeah. Wait. Yeah, you're muted. I didn't mute you, but you're muted.
I know. I'm sorry. I was talking to my daughter. My dogs went crazy, so I didn't want to start talking while they were barking on top of this. But at the end of the day, just like I said, that's an impressive slideshow you did there. But one, we have to make some assumptions. We have to assume that bone had children. And then two, we have to...
Hey, they are going crazy.
Yeah. I had my daughter's. She's getting me something here so I can use it as an example. Thank you. Now, I don't have a spork with me, but I want you to imagine something. I've actually found the evolution of a fork. You see, it actually started off like this, okay? And then for training purposes, and I apologize, I don't have a spork, but I want you to imagine now I'm holding up a spork.
Right.
And you see, it's got the smooth edges.
It's half spoon, half fork.
And the ridges, you know, it allowed the spoon to evolve farther. And then finally, it finished with a fork. You see how I'm just using shapes and then telling you how they evolved?
Yeah, but my idea, there's two big differences. One, spoons don't have babies. Organisms do. But two, my idea is testable. The bones, in my example, were the equivalent of you like showing the spoon and the fork or whatever, forky spoony. I've seen you've played knifey spoony before. Anyways, but my idea is testable. It's testable through genetics, and the genetics confirms it. So when you have two completely separate fields that say exactly the same thing, that is, there's a word for that. I can't remember. It's a fancy word. I always forget what the word is. I'm going to look it up. But that is where coincidence is just not an appropriate response to me.
Right.
I'm just saying, if humans came from monkeys, why are there still monkeys? You can't have an atmosphere next to a vacuum. The Big Bang violates the second law of thermodynamics. Everything that's created requires a creator. Show me curvature. There are no missing links. Evolution has never been observed. The Earth is only 6,000 years old.